We're tested a little, you know. Right. Is the end of the world nigh? The end of a lot of things are nigh, and some of them, I'm glad they're ending. And this is what the world's greatest scientist, who was a committed and devout Christian, Isaac Newton, said. About the time of the end, a body of men will be raised up who will turn their attention to the prophecies in the midst of much clamour and opposition. And Charles Hummel said that this great man spent less time on science than on theology. Of course, he discovered gravity and much else. He was a genius and so clever that he realised that the world was created by the Lord and it wasn't evolving or anything else. So he saw what was going to happen in the end times, prophetically in a way. And we're right there. The good news is that the Lord is coming back. And how do we know? Because the signs are everywhere, all around us. So we are to look on that, look on him coming, and forget the trials and dismal state that the world is in at the moment. Because the signs are flashing out there like neon lights. They shout the good news of our Lord's soon return. That is the very best of news. Our Lord is even at the door. As we look around and we see the calamities and general misrule everywhere, we know that the Lord's coming is near, even at the door. Galatians 4 says that, chapter, verse 4, God had a year, a day, an hour, and a minute for our Lord to be born. According to Matthew 24, verse 36, God also has a year, a month, a day, and an hour for Jesus to come back. And that time is near at hand. That is for the rapture, of course. It's a two-part advent. Now, even the world, even the television people are sort of thinking, well, things are not normal. People ask me, when will we get back to normal? And I say, we're not going to go back to normal. This is it. This is the end. We're moving very fast to a climax. But it could be called doomsday. That's what the media call it. So that was how Fox News put it. Prepare to meet your doom, you see. And old-time preachers, they had the truth in a way, because it wasn't immediately true that the world was ending, but it was to make people think that they walked around the streets with placards on. So we should be glad that they were bold in those days. Is the end of the world nigh? No, not yet. It's the end of man's misrule of the world that we're looking at. It's all going to collapse, crumble and burn, I think, very rapidly. We're going to see a whole succession of things happening ever darker and deeper. But we should be glad that this darkness is there, because it means the light will shine brightly when it comes, because we know the end of the story. This is the end of the story. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Right at the end of Revelation almost, chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. The Alpha and Omega is returning. We can know the season of the Lord's return. This is it. The Bible says we cannot know the time, but makes it clear we will know the season of his return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Those who are actually scoffing and molesting and killing Christians will have a price to pay. Because it's minutes to midnight. It will be significant to see one major sign out there. About 100 years ago, and the Jews were coming back to Israel in small numbers, people like F.B. Meyer saw the significance of it. He was the founder of the Prophetic Witness Movement International, which I go out and speak for. And he saw, and others saw as well, like Balfour, that there were signs that the Jews were going back to their promised land. But today there are multiple prophetic signs that are converging, and you have to look at the convergence of all these signs. Never before happened, ever. From the regathering of the Jews in unbelief, mostly they're either extreme Orthodox or secular in Israel, a very small percentage of Christians, and a few other odds and ends like Mormons, more odds than end. and we're looking at the fast approach of the cashless society, I think that the track and trace is going to develop very rapidly into a chip that we have to actually have implanted in our bodies. It won't immediately be the mark of the beast, but it's moving that way, and they're planning it and plotting it, and I've got tens of hours of evidence that I've watched and seen Bill Gates and others saying that's what we are going to do. And he's more or less in charge of the world at the moment, but that's another story. Because we are living in the season of the Lord's return. He's not going to save the world, but our Lord is going to save the world. We're now at 100 seconds to midnight. I checked this yesterday. It might be 99 now, or even 98. This is the doomsday clock. And it's actually run by the... what are they called? The scientists, the atomic scientists. And they've actually started this just after the Second World War, when the atom bomb had been exploded, the only time it had been in war. And they say that the world is the closest it ever been to catastrophe since the end of World War II. That's the board of the atomic scientists. They created this clock to show the chance of a man-made global catastrophe. And they said it's universally recognized as an indicator of the world's vulnerability to catastrophe from nuclear weapons, climate change, and disruptive technologies in other domains. Of course, the world is also vulnerable to a load of claptrap like climate change, but that's another story. Every year, leading scientists decide where to place this minute hand. This year, they move the clock forward. Closest to catastrophe, they've said the world is at any time since the clock's creation, including all during the Cold War, when we had 1962 and the Cuba crisis and so on. The scientists explain the situation is far worse now. And you can see the Russian troops and all kinds of weaponry massing on the border of Ukraine as we speak, and other countries really prepping for war. But we shouldn't worry about it. I mean, it's easy to sort of get obsessed and worry about it all, but only God knows the future, and he's in charge of it. I am God, and there is none else. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10. The world spins at his command, nobody else, even though Bill Gates is firing particles at the sun to try and dim it at the moment, or trying to. I'm not making it up. He's a megalomaniac, I can tell you. I mean, to actually diminish the raised suns, that's what his latest plan, you see, as well as producing insect burgers, that's another story. Matthew 24 tells of wars, rumours of wars, false Christs, false prophets, there's a lot of those about, earthquakes and famines. Earthquakes are increasing quite a lot around the world, actually, and famine in many areas. A rise in lawlessness, certainly got that. Many believing Christians abandoning the faith, yet the gospel being preached to the whole world. The world wars were just the beginning of birth pangs. We're now at the beginning of sorrows. Before any of this happened, before the end times could climax, Israel, the Jewish people, had to be back in their heartland. For Israel is a focal point of the last day's events. On December the 11th, 1917, General Allenby, who was a great Christian leader, by the way, he led the Allied forces in the Middle East. He rid Jerusalem of 400 years of Turkish Islamic rule. These momentous events of 1917 marked the beginning of the end times, because they led to the worldwide regathering of the Jewish people to their homeland and the reestablishment of their state exactly and precisely within one day as prophesied. More prerequisites for the second coming. Technology to watch all people. That's pretty much what's in China now, actually. Technology to control all people, from Revelation 13, verse 16. Technology to control all commerce, Revelation 13, 17. And technology to destroy all life on earth, Revelation 6, verse 4, etc. So beware before you agree to take a passport, because it's a forerunner and it leads into all this other thing. Total surveillance, total control. That is what they want. That's what they're moving towards. Here is Microsoft's new patent application. I showed you this once before, and it just happens to be numbered 06, 06, 06. Strange things happen to me when I try and send this out. I had this on, I actually photographed it, put it on one email, send it to myself on another email, send it to two other people. All three emails came back saying that it was not possible to send them due to spam content. And I send it to myself without any trouble. And there's no spam in it. Of course, everything I send is checked for viruses and so on. So I put it on a Word document. Thank you, Bill. And sent it out via a Word document, and it got out then. I just put an innocuous title saying, an interesting document. And that's what went out. So they're working on it. This is an interface between the brain and a computer chip, by the way. That's what they invented, apparently. There's more signs of the last days as you look out there. Apostasy in many churches, so-called churches. A falling away from the fundamental truths of Christianity. New diseases, pestilences, plagues and famine are coming, plus terrors and great signs from heaven, from Luke 21, verse 11. Also, we're actually really angering God because we're tampering with procreation, like the days of Noah when the gene pool was corrupted. That's in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. I mean, they actually mixed the genes of a person with those of a monkey and produced something horrible quite recently. And they've been doing it at the Roslin Institute, I think it's called, in Edinburgh for some time now, and producing horrible mutants and things. They're tampering with DNA and the gene pool. And then, of course, in the last 20, 30, 40 years, a widespread acceptance of homosexuality and other perversion as the days of Lot. And when I was a young reporter, shows how long ago I was a young reporter, young at all, if you went to court and anyone was sort of caught trying to practice homosexuality in a public toilet, they were on a criminal charge. It was a criminal charge. Now it's a criminal charge to actually speak against it, as I'll show you. Christianity sometimes gets skewed, like this church steeple in Chesterfield, England. I think most of the Church of England has always been that way, I'm afraid, but there we are. There are wolves in many pulpits. Remember, deception, deception, deception is the hallmark of the end times. We have to be discerning, and we mustn't follow false trails. Like turning from God's way to a do-it-yourself religion. Well, this is what I think. This is what I think God meant. This is really, just see what the Bible says. That's all that counts, not your opinion. Colin always corrects people when they say, well, I think. I've been having a to and fro with one lady who was arguing about the timing of the rapture. She thinks everyone's going to go through the Great Tribulation. I said, well, won't be a church at the end of the Great Tribulation. Anyway, after about sort of 20 or 30 quotes and things that I've sent her, maybe she's getting the message. She's quietened down a bit. I mean, she first of all accused me of preaching falsehoods about the rapture. No, not true, just the biblical truth. But we're going to be accused of all kinds of things, so be prepared for it. Concerning the negative signs, 2 Timothy 4, the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. That's most of the mainline churches. But wanting to have their ears tickled, that's why I had that joke earlier on with Chris, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside into myths. So you've got labyrinths and mysticism creeping into the church, you see. I saw this in the New Age movement. It's not new at all. It's been there since Adam and Eve. Some of the negative spiritual signs that were specifically prophesied, including the following: false Christ, cultic groups, heresies, apostasy, skepticism, I don't believe that, deception, occultism, there's a lot of that. Apparently in the lockdown there's been a huge boom in occultism and all kinds of witchcraft, plus persecution, and that actually is here right now. The one that Jesus most frequently mentioned when he was warning people was false Christ and the cultic groups, because they twist. They have a little bit of truth in, like the rat poison has a little bit of rat poison in it, but mostly it's poison. But here they actually have some truth, but a lot of it is surrounded by deception. I mean, Mormons, generally speaking, have families and good family lives, quote unquote, but they're very deceived and they follow a load of complete nonsense. You can look it up on our website, because there's a way which seems right to a man. People have opinions, but its end is the way of death. We can't make up our own faith. Proverbs 14, verse 12. And the second psalm describes the nations in an uproar, people devising a vain thing. Oh, we can solve the world's problems. We can control the sun, really. A vain thing, it's nonsense. And rulers conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. They want total control. Their aim is to tear their fetters away, cast their cords from us. They want to do it their way and be as depraved as possible. There is a price to pay. Do you remember Frank Sinatra, who used to sing I Did It My Way and thought he was frightfully clever because he got away with all kinds of stuff and was involved with very doubtful company and the mafia and so on. And at the end of his life, he went nuts. He had dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever. And he was just endlessly walking around his swimming pool, shuffling with the deck chairs. I thought, well, you did it your way. Enjoy it now. 2 minutes after he died, he realized that his way was wrong, I'm afraid. And I'm not saying that gladly I wish he'd been saved, but he certainly wasn't. There's a price to pay for doing your own thing, going your own way. Like branding God as feminine is a disgrace. It's blasphemous, actually. Some vicars, when this came out, were angered by advice to pray to a female Holy Spirit, a Whitson. Feminism is as the spirit of witchcraft, and it's permeating all the church, main churches too, with female bishops, so-called. But doesn't a bishop have to be the husband of one wife? I think they mean someone of the opposite sex too. Not necessarily in the Church of England. In the Bible, God is always referred to as Father. This mixing of gender is deliberate and in the spirit of witchcraft, as is feminism, women, priests, quote unquote, etc. Our aim is to convince people there is no, one aim is to convince people there is no difference between the sexes. Homosexuality is normal and so on. This is not what God says. We know better now. No, we don't, because there's a price to pay. There's two, I think I might have told you this before, but two former homosexuals drove hundreds of miles to hear me speak. Well, it's not because I was wonderful, but because they wanted to talk to me. And they said that they had the most miserable lifestyle of any person on earth as homosexuals. Very promiscuous, always prone to horrible diseases, no happiness whatsoever. And they said when they got saved, their lives were transformed. They both came to me and I was very happy to hug them because they were transformed. They were new creations. They were God's people. But the church, or much of it, this is what goes on in the so-called church. That's why we come to this little hut, not the place with stained glass windows down the road. Not saying they're like this, but they've got their problems, I'm sure. Some Christians are gay, thank God. Well, try and read the Bible, dear. God's response, here it is, if they do look at it. From Romans chapter 1, verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. People worship animals more than people sometimes. And the nature, forgetting who created nature. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for that which is contrary to nature. And likewise, the men too abandoned natural relations with women and burned in their desire toward one another, males with males committing shameful acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error, like AIDS, for example, and many other things equally horrible. There's a price to pay. Here's a possible explanation, which I've held for some time as a likely thing. An explanation of the exponential rise in homosexual acceptance and propaganda everywhere. Possibly because we're getting a homosexual antichrist. Because it says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, I've always thought this is very significant. Neither shall he regard the god or gods of his fathers, nor the desire of women. He desires someone or something, but it's not women. Interesting. Maybe he's homosexual. I think quite likely, actually. So will we see a homosexual antichrist? This could be the reason for the astonishing and rapid rate at which our society is being brainwashed into thinking perversion is normal. Something is pushing this. It's the prince of the powers of the air, I think. Even little children now have to go to classes to be taught that you can choose your sex, Daphne or David, whatever you want to be. It's rubbish. It's scientific nonsense. And more scientists, whether they're Christians or not, should speak out and explain that it's an impossibility. You can't change your chromosomes. It's not possible. So there we are. Here's another reason. We talk about this a lot at this church. For God to judge Christian countries like ours. More than 60 million, that's about almost the same as the whole population of the United Kingdom. 60 million legal abortions have occurred in the United States since 1973, plus quite a few illegal probably. Since approval of abortion in the UK in 1967, about 8.5 million abortions, young lives snuffed out, have been performed. These are people. They have rights as their mothers have rights. But their rights are snuffed out. It's all bad news and good news. A preacher said recently that it's getting gloriously darker. Scriptures give us many signs to watch for that will show our Lord ready to return. Believers should be encouraged. This is really meant to encourage you, not to depress you. Because as we move into the beginning of sorrows, our Lord referred to the end time signs in his Olivet Discourse given in the last week of his life on earth. Speaking of a whole series of signs which he'd given to his disciples, he said, "When you see all these things, recognize that he, the Son of Man, Jesus, is near, right at the door." He's right at the door. Will the church go through the tribulation? It's a bit of a tribulation answering questions about it, actually. No, we're taken out. Next question. The Antichrist world, the ungodly, will not be taken out, and they will face the wrath to come shortly. Because, of course, although a lot of people think he's wonderful, Satan hates people because they're God's creation. He hates the human race. He wants to destroy it. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. That's the church, the true church. That the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do. Let us be alert and sober. So Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. There's a choice to be made. We have to choose this day. The whole world has to choose. Because the time we have to choose is our life. Just a second or two or a minute or two, whatever, after we die. It's too late. There's no going back. You face eternity in one place or another. And this is what Elijah said when he was facing the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the Lord then helped Elijah show very firmly that he was in charge, not Baal. And the prophets of Baal all ended up dead. So that was a great moment in the history of Israel. It didn't last too long, unfortunately, but it was great while it lasted. This is a cosmic battle. When you see things happening, always remember, and it's hard because we live everyday lives, we've got things to do that are practical, but the world is a supernatural world and supernatural influences are on it all the time, good and bad. I've seen a lot of the bad and in quite striking ways, actually. And for example, I went back to a man whose car number plate was 666, shall we say. We called him the Great Beast, but not in his presence, as he was a former boxer. So I took Pat down to meet him. We started having a sort of circle sitting where you actually develop your psychic abilities, you see. Oh, I've done all this, know how wrong it all is. But at the time, it seemed quite exciting. And one day, we knocked on his door in Winchester. And we were there for this session, you see, which didn't achieve very much. And this man's wife came out and she said, "Oh, Alan and Pat, one day you're going to expose us." And it wasn't her saying it. Something's made her say that. And she went on as if she said nothing. We looked later and we said, we know what goes on here. We know how hypocritical and what liars they are, how you can't trust anything they do or say. The New Age movement, they call themselves healers, you see. Life goes on. Yeah, it does, but it's going to be a bad life for them. But we said, yeah, we will expose them. And we did. We exposed psychic things and spiritism in our book, Cults and Isms, True or False, because a lot of people are now leading that way. And, of course, there's an awful lot of psychic things on children's programs too, and very, very occult. You look through all the children's programs, I would say the vast majority have got witches and demons and all kinds of things in like that. And, of course, famous authors add to that problem as well. So, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Wars and rumors of wars, and I think we're gearing up for some major conflicts. Except those days, the last days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. Our Lord speaking in Matthew 24, verse 22. Because, for example, in Isaiah 17, verse 1, there are scriptures seeming to indicate nuclear war, which is devastating. We haven't had a widespread, we had a very localized setting off of atomic bombs. Hydrogen bombs are many times more explosive and deadly. So I think we've never yet invented a machine or a weapon that's not been used, and they will be used. And that explains some of the end time scenario. We believe here in this church in a pre-tribulation rapture, because God's wrath never falls on his true church. It'll fall on the whore church, another story. But when we believe this, as we do here, it gives us urgency and a desire to be ready with our lamps burning. Luke 40. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. If it were mid or post-tribulation, we would know the date. Because we will know, the world should know, that when the tribulation starts is when Antichrist signs a peace treaty to protect Israel. And halfway through, 3.5 years in, he actually abrogates that and goes into the holy place and declares himself God. And that is when people start to actually see through the veil and see what he really is. So that's coming, and probably the lifetime of some of the people. No, we won't be here. If our lives were still on earth, I think it would be within, I don't know, I'm only guessing 10, 12 years that this will happen, maybe fewer than that. But if it was trib or most trib, we would know the date. Biblical truth is being banned. We had a reference to that from Graham earlier, by some British police forces. Most police are okay, but there's some nasty people among them, I'm afraid. There is serious censorship going on the streets, in the media, and because of government decrees banning normal church services. And Colin found an ancient law which said that's not legal to do that, actually. We should have been here singing the whole time. But you have this very intrusive police force, and now we're going to have COVID marshals marching around like jumped-up traffic wardens. Absolutely disgraceful. I submitted a whole ream of evidence against that to a parliamentary committee that hopefully will read some of it yesterday. They're looking into the COVID passports, vaccine passports. But anyway, they've banned a lot of activities where we would meet together and discuss these things. People are being, if they're stuck away in a corner and all they've got is electronic things to watch, they're not communicating and saying, well, look, we don't agree with this, let's do something about it. Very few people are getting much communication with other people. Could this be why some forces harass street preachers? Hampshire police are so gay-friendly, Southern Evening Echo newspaper. They've been named as the most gay-friendly public sector employer in the country. I would say pervert-friendly. I hate the way gay has been misused and appropriated by them. The constabulary is ranked the second best place in the country, the whole United Kingdom, for lesbian, gay and bisexuals to work. How very jolly for them. It was the fourth year the force featured in this annual survey by Stonewall, a homosexual lobby group. So if you wonder why you're persecuted in Hampshire if you go out preaching, this is why. There's an awful lot of perverts among them. Oh, I don't know a lot, but some anyway. Most churches have ceased to function since early 2020. The truth, The truth I'm telling you tonight, today, is being suppressed. This man went to Uxbridge to preach in the open air, and he was dragged off to jail. I watched a video of it this morning. The police were very rough. Pastor Sherwood, he's 71 years old, he was standing on a little, a little sort of set of steps, and a couple of police actually dragged him down very roughly and violently and sort of started, shaking him and hitting him and everything. Absolutely, they were like a mob of thugs, the police force. Anyway, he's been minister of Penfree Methodist Church in Buckinghamshire since 1990 and is a keen open-air preacher. This is disgusting. How dare he preach the truth? Pastor Sherwood, he preached on the final verses of Genesis 1. And you can see why people started to get annoyed. Declaring that God's design, not our opinion, God's design in creating mankind was to set people in families, headed by a mother and father, not two fathers or two mothers, or father and mother, not two fathers and two mothers. The distinction within mankind of just two genders, male and female, there's no other genders, made in the image of God, constitutes the essence of God's created order. There was not any in-betweenies created. It's not possible. Sexual perversion is a sin, as non-repentant sinners will find out a minute after they die. This is what happened. This was only about a week ago. After a while, a number of police officers went up to Pastor Sherwood, grabbed him, saying three complaints had been received about the preaching. There was a lot of people there, but three had objected. Police said alarm and distress had been caused to members of the public. They're very easily alarmed and distressed. Whilst this conversation was going on, another officer spoke to a second preacher there about the need to avoid any homophobic statements. That word is ridiculous because we don't have a phobia about them. We just dislike what they do. I'm not phobic about them. It's a ridiculous phrase, expression, word. He explained that to uphold God's moral law and to speak about the dangers of sin in respect of LGBT issues implies absolutely no hatred or unpleasantness toward any individual or group of people, because we are to love them and point out in a polite way what the word of God says, so they have a choice. They can take a choice. They can't if they don't know that the Bible says this. They probably never read it. Because the Bible's description of homosexuality as sinful is plain, as I've read out. Speech is no longer free. Pastor Sherwood, respectfully, and he's a very decent man from what I've seen, told the police that he had freedom of speech. I'm afraid not. And had no intention of desisting from preaching because of the complaints. People, he said, are free to walk past and ignore me if they don't like it. He explained to the officer that his previous comments about families needing a father and a mother were made in the context of the divine command to be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1, verse 28. It's a statement of the obvious, that two men or two women cannot reproduce, despite all kinds of tricks to pretend they can. It's not true. Pastor Sherwood then resumed preaching, and he spoke, this was good, I hope the police were listening before they dragged him off. He spoke on the precious right to freedom of speech in this country, reaching back to Magna Carta in 1215, and the Bill of Rights in 1689. That did it, he was under arrest. One man among the onlookers, who said he was bisexual, shouted that Pastor Sherwood had made homophobic statements, and a woman in the gathering crowd who said she was a lesbian said he's guilty of hate speech. Boy, they don't like the truth. The police took a statement from her. The conversation then resumed between Pastor Sherwood and two officers, and they asked him to come down from the steps on which he stood, saying he was now under arrest. The minister refused, arguing that he was engaged in lawful activity and that no crime had been committed. Then an officer grabbed his Bible, pulled him down the steps, and it was rough. It wasn't a gentle pull. Three officers quickly gathered round to apply handcuffs behind the minister's back. He was obviously a dangerous person, run amok and bash someone with his Bible or something. You know, how ridiculous this is. This shows how lamentable a lot of police forces are, I'm afraid. This dignified man of God, who is 71, was marched off to a nearby police station, just as one of his supporters cried out, "What has happened to us as a nation that a man can no longer preach from the Bible?" This is what's happened. The police say now, what's free speech? Pastor Sherwood was arrested not for refusing to come down from the steps, but according to the police, on the grounds of Section 5 of the Public Order Act, that he'd been causing alarm and distress while poor mites pass him a hanky and carry on preaching. The arrest took place after a period of continued, reasonable and polite discussion with the police, which was surely evidence that the preacher was highly unlikely to have earlier engaged in a criminal use of intemperate language. The pastor was driven to a police detention centre near Heathrow Airport, where he was kept in a cell overnight and not released until noon the next day. His solicitor described the attitude of officers during the formal interview procedure as very unpleasant. They were extremely hostile. They hated what he said. It wasn't just someone in the crowd. Here is a taken from a video of a mob of police roughing up this pastor, grabbing him and mauling him around. The good news, he didn't quit. He got out of jail, and on the Sunday afternoon, the day after his release from custody, he was back preaching the gospel at Speaker's Corner. So good for him, good for the pastor. This is not hate speech. The Word of God contains wisdom from the world, for the world, if they only realized it. It is not hate speech, although many people hate it, because it points out where they're going wrong and what is sin. They don't want to hear for the most part today. But then Noah had a similar problem. He preached a repentance message for 120 years. He told people repeatedly, "You are living in the season of the pouring out of God's wrath." The people responded by scoffing. Some laughed and scoffed until they couldn't tread water anymore. There's a lesson for us today. Judgment Day is coming, but God is with us always. He is with us despite the world situation. Isaiah 54 verse 10 says, "The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed," as they will, "but my kindness shall not depart from you." The Lord is with his people always. So Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.